Are we recording?
Yeah, we got all that guggling before.
Are we plugged in?
Yeah, we are plugged in. Are you seeing the red light?
I'm seeing the red light.
Okay, we are plugged in.
Fantastic. All right, well, let's go for it then. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks, Joel. Very good to be back doing another episode.
Yes, very exciting after our last episode. It's had really, really, really positive responses. It's been our most listened to episode so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's only day three after us releasing our solo Spice Girl episode, and it's already our most listened episode. With that regard, in terms of how many days it is,
I blew the first day sales out of water. Let's just say we Jerry Halliwelled it. We didn't Emma Bunton it. But no, in all seriousness, you know, we're just a little podcast that we're just two boys that love talking about pop music. So it's wonderful to see people listening to it. And thank you for people that are sharing it and interacting with us on social media. It is really a word of mouth podcast. So if you are listening and enjoying, please do tell some friends because we really appreciate it.
And I know we said at the end of the recording of that, oh, you know, maybe we should do a part two. I think maybe a lot of people are like, yeah, definitely do a part two. And we're here both sitting looking at each other. Yeah. Like, well, that's not really planned as yet.
There is no
immediate plan.
No immediate plans. God, it sounds like we're in a some sort of band that needs to be like, no plans at the moment, but never say never. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like some of you just assumed we were going to do a part two because a lot of you are saying, can't wait for part two. And then I was a bit scared.
Well, we weren't sure whether, you know, this was something people wanted more of. So that's why we sort of put the feelers out at the end of that episode. But I think it's clear that we're going to have to do a part two at some point.
Yes,
Joel.
So I think series three, keep an eyes out for part two.
I don't want to start planning it already, but I think because there's so much excitement around it, I think we were sort of thinking the next chapter is obviously we finished at the year 2000, so we want to go 2001 to maybe 2004 or something like that. That's just a thought. Talk about the sheer luck of it. Within days of us releasing our solo Spice Girls episode, me and my friend Jack from the Official Charts Company, shout out Jack, went record shopping yesterday in Soho. I go through the kind of the sale bit. We're flicking through, and then suddenly I see this black sleeve vinyl with hot pink taped over the top, and in giant letters it says "Holla" with an exclamation mark.
Oh.
And I screamed. It was, of course, the Spice Girls' "Holla" remixes on vinyl.
Wow, legendary.
Absolutely legendary. I was freaking out. Everyone downstairs was just looking at me weird. And I just had to have it. I had to have it. I don't even think I let Jack touch it. Like, I was just like, he was like, oh my God, let me. I was like, my hand, just like, don't even get any ideas.
Wow.
We've got lots of exciting ideas coming up.
Guys, I can't wait for us to record the rest of the season, let alone for people to listen to it.
Yeah.
Let's just say I'm really forcing David to sit down and watch some of my favourite things that I've been wanting to make him watch. Shall we get into it?
This is big.
This is probably something I've wanted to do since the idea of this podcast came along.
Yeah.
And it's something that I've been wanting to try and tie you down and get you into since we've been living together. Do you know that I remembered the other day, one of the first things, one of the first sort of moments of us living together, and I tried to force our friendship, was you were listening to Selena Gomez in your bedroom when she was releasing the Revival album.
Uh-huh.
And I like barged into your room and was like, do you like Selena Gomez?
It was a Disney pop star moment.
And full segue in, today we are covering the Cheetah Girls.
The Cheetah Girls, featuring 3LW's story in there as well.
Of course, because we can't do the Cheetah Girls without getting into 3LW, because that is such a a part of the origins of the Cheetah Girls.
Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, last year when we first started this podcast, my friend Dylan suggested that we do 3LW. And then I think about, like, six episodes down and he's like, I don't know if you remember, but I suggested 3LW. What's going on there? Are you still doing that?
I mean, a request is never an episode we're doing. Yeah, but exactly. Jokes aside, we do love your requests because we do. It does make us think of things we'd never.
No, absolutely.
Or it sparks a few things.
But yeah. No, we do take note when people request certain things. Thus the Solo Spice Girls episode.
Thus the Solo Spice Girls
yeah.
episode.
So we did write down 3LW and it has been on the list, but you know, I think we knew that we wanted to combine it with Cheetah Girls to create this wholesome experience where we get to tell the story pretty much chronologically from 99 until, what, I guess 2008.
Let's get into 3LW.
3LW. So, look, this, I mean, we love a girl group, Joel. It is well-known, established fact that we love a girl group. And what a treat it is that we get to look at a real-life girl group in the noughties, in Y2K period, and a fictitious girl group that sort of became a real girl group. So, okay, the lineup, the original lineup of 3LW, we have Keeley Williams. So at the time the band was formed, Keeley was 13.
And the band was kind of created around Keeley Williams. Mm. It was a project for her.
Yeah. It was sort of like a Destiny's Child-esque story, you know? Except without a Matthew Knowles figure, we had Keeley's mum, quote-unquote mum, which was her stepsister, as later revealed in life. And then they cast two other members around Keeley. We have Adrienne Bailon, who was 16 when mm-hmm. she joined the group, and Naturi Norton, who was 15 when she joined.
They start really young but are really edgy, and then they go to the Cheetah Girls where they are forced to appear a lot younger than they are.
Yeah, it's... while they're already growing up yeah. and entering their 18s and 20s.
And we'll get into that.
It is a funny
harsh,
one.
Clash a bit.
It is a funny
also
one.
Stunning.
Yeah, stunning. So 99, the group was formed. I mean, just to put it in context for you, that year, Destiny's Child came out with The Writings on the Wall. TLC was killing it with No Scrubs. Teen pop was a massive deal. Britney launched that year.
Well, she launched in
98, sorry. So 3LW signed with Epic Records, and they were launching Mandy Moore as well.
Oh, well, I know.
At the same time.
They start off with a great debut single, No More, open bracket, Baby I'ma Do Right, close bracket.
I mean, this is a classic R&B jam of the Y2K era. You do what you do.
Is really iconic. I'm getting a little tired of your broken promises. It's and that's not a shade, like that is how the fans know and love it, you know.
Does she have a lisp, or do you think it was just the auto-tune that
no she
that?
Has she had a lisp, she's kind of worked through it.
So looking back at No More, Baby I'ma Do Right, let's talk about the fashion in this video, because it's amazing, isn't it? It's so of its time.
And this is one that you see images pop up from it on all the Y2K Instagram accounts quite a lot. I mean, The bandana
with the diamantes embellished on it. Ugh, the tie-dye jeans.
And the thing is, they're all about, what, 15 in this music video. They're talking about, you've got to be a man. It's like someone put in the YouTube comments, like, you're all in the ninth grade. Like,
hilarious that Naturi is driving a BMW in this video.
Teen TV shows and films, people are going to be about 30 playing them. Real teenage pop stars, they're going to drive in their music videos, but they can't really drive. You know? These are just facts. Our mind has got used to these things.
Now we're like the teen millennium kids, you know, the teens of the millennium. And I think, like, that future, the futuristic sound is, like, so... hi. And I think the whole meaning of the song about the girl standing up for herself, like girl power, you know, like, no more, I'm not taking this anymore.
No More, Baby I'ma Do Right peaks at number 23 in the US, 22 on the US R&B chart, 26 in Australia, number 5 in New Zealand, and number 6 here in the UK.
Number six here
in the UK, wow. Which I didn't even know it was released. There was, I remember in secondary school when I was going on about how much I loved the Cheetah Girls, one of the more sort of edgier girls in the year, introduced me to 3LW and sung this song to me.
I mean, that would have been like, me at school with you.
Yeah. You'd have been like forced to sit with me one science class and you'd be like, oh. Then you'd see me like start talking or have a picture of the Cheetah Girls on my notebook or something. You'd be like, aren't those two girls from 3LW?
And I would be like, both shook.
They have a great year in 2000. Debut album's released.
It was a good teen pop R&B album.
Oh yeah, it was a great debut.
Interesting to note, Brian Kreeruff and Joshua Schwartz, some of the writers on this first 3LW album, also did Willa Ford's I Wanna Be Bad.
Well, if they ever want to make any bops with me, I am available. My song could be like, I am bad, not I want to be bad. Yeah. That makes me like edgier. I liked what Willa Ford did, but I wanted to just be like edgier. So I said, I am bad.
What is this accent?
I know, it's a go-to accent. What I've been thinking about all week, which we didn't talk about on the Spice Girls episode, is that Mel B documentary and the mum.
Mama Brown.
I thought he was gay. All of his friends were gay. And it just didn't seem right to me. And, you know, he had all these friends at the wedding that were gay. And he was taking all his friends out shopping. And they were all saying at the wedding how much they love him. It's just very much tickled me all week. So, into the year 2001, they have their second single, Player's Gonna Play. So what did you think of the single Player's Gonna Play?
This is a bit of a fan favourite and cult classic, isn't it? Yeah. I thought it was a very good natural continuation of the first single. I was very surprised to learn it didn't do as well because I thought this was equally as big as No More. Player's gonna play. Video for this one I love.
Is this the one, I'm getting confused with the music videos now, is this one where they're on holiday and in like sort of swimwear and
stuff.
And like Keely's got kind of that, you know, when young people would have those bobs which make them look like either a kid or like a 30-year-old woman.
Exactly. It, like Keely had a sort of Rachel-esque hair. It was very layered.
And yeah, I watched the music video and it kind of just, this is like the music video equivalent of Mary-Kate and Ashley's film Holiday in the Sun. And Mary-Kate and Ashley also, when they were a bit younger than Holiday in the Sun, they had these bobs when they were really young.
I mean, it was a very universal haircut. It was the G rating of haircuts. It was suitable for all ages. Okay, so quickly, let's talk about the chart position for Players Gone Play.
Yeah, so it went to number 81 in the US, number 56 on the US R&B chart. Didn't chart in Australia.
Number 21 here in the UK, number 5 on the R&B charts. So they've had 2 top 5 hits on our R&B charts. That's insane. Also, around this time of the TRL tour, on YouTube, there's this really awkward backstage interview where Keely tried to drag Naturi.
Is it the one where she's like, yeah, we didn't get on originally?
Yeah. Like, and then, you know, the interviewer was like, oh, what sort of issues were you running into? And, you know,
he was after the tour.
Yeah, I mean, if I was the publicist in the background, I would have been like,
you've never seen any teen pop band dare say anything like that before.
Yeah, they were like, just a little too honest. Keely was ready to air her dirty laundry.
Wow, you said you had to learn to get together with each other. Was that hard?
Difficult. It was a challenge. Keely might know about that one.
Let us know a little bit about that.
Well, it was just Naturi and I, you know, we had some conflicts. We just didn't get along very well.
Why not? What kind of issues were you dealing with?
She doesn't understand me.
Naturi just won't listen. That's what it is. Nah, actually, the funny thing is, we always just, Angel's like, and you know what? No. Nah, actually.
Okay, we'll let you explain it.
I think what happens in our situation is that we're so different from one another. Everybody comes from different areas and we're raised very differently from one another. So when we first got together, everybody had different opinions and a different way of looking at things. And we kind of had to formulate something that would fit all of us, which we, and musically, we definitely took pieces that we loved from one another, blended that, and we started to start blending our personalities as well, learning from each other and learning that it's cool to be different from one another. You just learn to love each other and learn things from your differences and love each other no matter what.
Gotta keep the peace. Gotta keep the peace. Yeah.
She's sitting there like this bitch. Okay, so before the end of 2001, 3LW were nominated for and won the Soul Train Music Award for Best New R&B Hip Hop Artist.
Wow.
And Album of the Year. Shall we get into 2002?
So 2002 is a very juicy, interesting year. So the girls are building up to their second album, A Girl Can Mac.
Okay, so before A Girl Can Mac came out, they had the lead single off the album. Now, Joel, this one is my all-time favourite 3LW track. We're talking about I Do, in brackets, Wanna Get Close to You.
Featuring Diddy and Loon.
This was a banger. Like, I fell in love with this the minute it came out. Around this time, Joel, like, I was in my peak American R&B fandom. Brandy, Full Moon, which is a very seminal album to me and my life. Maya, Blue Cantrell. Like, these were the artists that were very central to me. So I was very receptive to whatever 3LW was serving me at this time. You know, that kind of angular dance pop R&B flavor in a post-Holla world. Won't you come stare to me if you wanna get down, baby? Now, the girls have grown up.
Well, even though it's not really any time at all, it is an incredible music video. I mean, you've got those CGI dolphins and then the looks, and it's, it has very risque moments. They've kind of got these black leathery outfits on.
Everyone's in all black leather, smoky eye.
They do serve.
Looks.
And choreography.
Oh yes, choreography in this video is sharp.
The choreo in this music video is incredible.
Yeah, they don't play.
There's that one shot that I showed you earlier, and I was like, oh! There's a shot where Keely sort of has something slip, and she sort of covers her boob, sort of. It was never going to reveal anything, but I actually gasped when I watched it.
You did the gay gasp where you like, clutch your pearls. So, I do want to get close to you. Sadly, was the last single the group did with Naturi, even though she didn't get any solos in it that we know of. The single charted at number 58 on the Billboard Hot 100, number 50 on the R&B hip-hop singles chart, number 41 in Australia.
You think all's going happy and well in Camp 3LW. This new album's going to be coming out.
Yeah, there's lots of buzz, lots of hype.
They're on a promo tour. Mm-hmm. And Naturi says that basically Keely just goes crazy and throws KFC at her. And not just like a chicken wing.
No.
Mashed potato and gravy.
And I think macaroni as well. I was reading on Wikipedia. The word macaroni came out. I was like examining this menu and thinking... They have some great side dishes at their KFC.
That's David's takeaway from the story.
It's like, we don't get macaroni at our KFC. Like, I mean, that's...
I don't like mac and cheese.
I would like the option. It will probably give me the shits because it's, you know, that cheap dairy stuff they use. But I like the option, thank you. KFC UK, step your game up.
So... Unfortunately, Naturi left. Factually, I'm not 100% sure if she was kicked out at that moment or if she said, enough is enough and I'm leaving.
Mm.
Maybe the latter. That would be enough for me to just leave.
Yeah, I mean, there would be other things in the lead up to this that would have made her go, do you know what? As she's picking out mac and cheese from her hair.
Nah, mate.
This is really
it. I mean, imagine being, what, 15, 16... You're trying to live your dreams.
Yeah, and you're away from home and your loved ones.
And they've made it aware to you that there's an understudy and that you're replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, another story is that Tessie thought that Naturi had leaked to the Wendy Williams radio show that she was maybe leaving the group.
Oh, or that the so group Tessie was is up. The group's manager and Keely's quote-unquote mom.
Yes. So apparently that was also an internal conflict at this time. Mm. This is all alleged. Is all,
yeah, he said, she said. She said, she said.
So please don't come after us, Tessie.
No, Tessie, we don't want to hear from you or your lawyers.
So unfortunately the Tory left. They still had the album coming out. It got pushed back, but they didn't... They were proud of their work.
So A Girl Can Mack, the album. I, as I said, I was such a huge fan of I Do Want to Get Close to You. I picked up this CD album several times at Borders over the period of 6 to 9 months, wanting to buy it, but I never did because I was so tight with money at the time. But I did go on the internet and downloaded my favourite album track from it, which is I Need That. In brackets, I Want That, featuring Lil' Kim.
And you did need that.
I needed that track.
And you did want that.
It was... It had to be had.
So to go full circle, Naturi ended up playing Lil' Kim in a biopic.
Yes, she did. Oh, how funny.
So the second album really is a fantastic album. Unfortunately, not on Spotify. So during this whole scandals and whatnot, they had some blowback. I think it left some fans with bitter taste in their mouth, especially as they'd been such strong fans vying for this second album.
Mm.
You know, the album didn't do as well as hoped. It sold 176,000 copies, which I think's a lot.
I think it's a lot, but in, number 15 on the Billboard 200, and like you said, in these times, and Epic Records would have spent a lot of money in this.
And what's funny is that that still chart debuted higher than the first album.
Yeah,
because the first album went to number 29, but that was probably a much more consistent 29. I mean, it went platinum for crying out loud.
Yeah, and this one didn't go platinum. There was a second single from this album called Never Get Enough, featuring Lil Wayne.
So he was the third Lil Women. It was 3LW, two Lil Women and one Lil Wayne. So that they released that video as a duo, but Naturi's vocals are kind of still on the choruses and whatnot.
And unfortunately, that single didn't chart. And what's weird, Joel, is that literally within weeks of A Girl Can Mack coming out, they put out a Christmas album.
Naughty or Nice.
Naughty or Nice. And that's
the only sort of release with them as a duo.
Yeah, 2LW. But
it's still 3LW. Yeah.
And, you know, it was like all the cliches of a Naughty or Nice Christmas album cover, isn't it?
And it makes me... That cover is just a bit cheap and, like, it's trying to be sexy, especially because what we're about to get makes me feel uncomfortable. Regardless of, they probably preferred that to the imagery of the Cheetah Girls.
Yeah.
Moving into 2003, in January 2003, That's So Raven debuts on the Disney Channel. Let's go. If you could get into the future. Now, let's get into Raven Simonier. Already, you know, a famous working actress. She'd been working since she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
She had been in The Cosby Show.
Mm-hmm.
She'd been in the Dr. Dolittle movies, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. She pops up in The Little Rascals. She'd had two albums by this date. The first one when she was really young. That's So Raven ended up becoming the Disney Channel's highest rated and longest running TV series with 100 episodes. It was then beaten by Wizards of Waverly Place in 2011. But that is so incredible. You know, what Lizzie McGuire did, it really kind of set up for all the further Disney Channel shows in terms of the stars singing and...
Yeah, the careers.
The career trajectories.
Yeah, it set the template for that.
Whereas, I mean, Hillary's gone as far to say that she really struggled with that. No one would take her seriously in any field because she did it all. And it was like, what are you doing? Whereas now it's expected of you.
Yeah.
It's like you're expected to do all these if you are on a show like that.
Lizzie McGuire, That's So Raven.
And then Hannah Montana.
And then Hannah Montana. Wow. It's just fascinating to just sort of put everything back into timeline context. Because, you know, when you're young and this rerun is going on, you don't know what the fuck's real and what's repeated. I was watching That's So Raven probably till I was 20, so...
Oh, yeah.
Also, around this time in the year 2003, in February, 3LW added a new member.
Jessica Benson.
So for a good 8 months, 3LW was just Adrienne and Keely. Mm. They were trying to figure it out. They finally found this girl, Jessica. They debuted the new lineup at the Soul Train Music Awards that year. And around this time, there were talks of a third album already. They were getting very excited. They told the press that the third album is called Phoenix Rising.
Mm.
They're working with Babyface, this and that and the other. They're very excited to get into it. They say it's a more mature R&B direction. They did a small club tour just to sort of re-engage with the fans and sort of get Jessica acquainted to...
And get some, like, experience performing.
Exactly, yeah. But then the album never came that year.
It did not. Now, talk about poor timing for Jessica, because a very exciting opportunity...
Is
about to happen.
Yeah, this is shaking everything on the table. This is the reason why we're here, guys.
In 2003, the Disney Channel starts working on a new project, The Cheetah Girls, which is going to be a Disney Channel original movie, a DCOM, if you're in the know, produced by Whitney Houston.
Wow.
The movie is a monumental cinematic look about four teens in New York through their love of music and making bops.
And serving fashion looks.
Cheetalicious looks. Cheetalicious looks with growl power. They create the Cheetah Girls and they dream of winning their high school talent show. And they, at the audition, get spotted by a record exec. Just a lot of things happen. The music industry tried to make the Cheetah Girls something they're not. I mean, I'm just going to say, everything I know about the music industry, I know from the Cheetah Girls and the Ashley Simpson show.
So, who are in the Cheetah Girls?
Who are in the Cheetah Girls? You have made-for-TV Hilary Duff, Sabrina Bryan, two girls from 3LW, Adrienne Bylon and Keely Williams, and queen of the Disney Channel, Raven Simonio, but this is in the era when she was just billed as Raven.
Yeah, just one name, Raven.
Madonna, Pink, Cher, Raven. What you've got to give it credit for, again, is sort of the diversity and storytelling in this film,
mm-hmm.
where they're all so proud of their backgrounds and where they come from. And then the other storyline we have is Sabrina Bryan's character.
Yes.
Is an orphan. She doesn't know where she's from. She lives in a foster home with her foster parents and several other children. You know, in 2003, it was great that we were kind of seeing...
Yeah. And Raven's family in the film is a multiracial family. Black mother and, Italian father?
Italian father, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
character's name's Galleria.
Yeah. Galleria Gallibaldi. I created the Cheetah Girls and I wrote the song Cinderella. You know, diversity is really celebrated in this film, which is incredible.
Mm. And, you know, you've got Adrienne Bailon's character. What was her name again? We just call her Chuchi.
Yeah, Chanel.
Chanel, yes. You know, her mum is a former model, glamorous Latina.
We're assuming
Latina.
Model just from the background
pictures.
Oh, really? Pictures.
It wasn't ever explained.
I don't think we know what she did or does.
Yeah, but she's just a fabulous Latina woman.
I think she is a former model.
Yeah, but then it's represented there that, you know, she's a single mother. So, you know, you've got the single parent family represented there. You've got foster family represented, and you don't actually see Keely's parents in this, her character's parents in it, because she's moved from Texas, so she's away
from
her.
The South.
Yeah.
I told my daddy I would live in New York, not under New York. So out of five, how many stars would you give the Cheetah Girls movie?
I would give the Cheetah Girls movie 3.5 out of 5. And for you, is a 5? Yes.
Yes,
it's a firm 5.
I mean, but the thing is that if the Cheat Girls is a 5, the Cheat Girls 2 is going to have to be like a 6.
Yeah.
An added star because it's so good. Now, there is a picture of 3LW with Jessica at the premiere of the Cheetah Girls.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
This film premiered with 6.5 million viewers, 84 million viewers globally.
Wow.
The soundtrack, which surprised everyone because it had no promotion, was the second best-selling soundtrack in the US that year behind the Shrek soundtrack.
That is insane, isn't it?
This film was such a runaway success that no one saw it coming. The Disney Channel didn't see it coming. High School Musical's not going to be for another 3 years, which again was another success story that they didn't see coming. They're just movies of the week. You know, sometimes they do well and sometimes get a cult following, and some they've forgotten about. You know, I think that's probably also helped why it was such a runaway success, because you're getting two different fan bases here tuning in for a film.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Ravens fans, that's So Raven, which is huge, and then the 3LW fans that are left that are going to tune in and see.
Yeah.
So do you think that if Notori was still in the group, she would have been considered for the project as well? In an alternate timeline.
I mean, this is very interesting because I wondered that if the second album, say, had been number one or like really massive, whether the Cheetah Girls would have happened for 3LW. Probably not. They would have gone on tour. They would have been pushed to, you know, do a third album really soon. I think, you know, when things stalled after Noturi leaving and they copped a bit of backlash, the girls were forced to look at other options and maybe had to get a bit creative because they knew their record deal wasn't secure.
And I also think it would have been very much a case of, oh yeah, Jessica, we're going to go and film this film for a few weeks, but then we'll be back to work on the on the third album.
In fact, they might have already filmed this while they were searching for Jessica because they probably didn't know if they were going to get a third member that worked.
Mm.
Okay, so the Cheetah Girls movie soundtrack. Now, this was a number one album on the US Kids Album Chart, which I didn't even know was a chart, but...
No, that's my kind of chart, though.
Yeah. The soundtrack also hit number 33 on the Billboard 200, certified double platinum.
That is incredible. Camila Cabello of Fifth Harmony fame has recently said that when she was a kid, she didn't really have many friends, and she had this Cheetah Girl CD, and she used this to try and help her make friends, and it did do that. So it didn't do the same for me. I think that Girl Power by the Cheetah Girls was, I think, the first song I ever had downloaded from the internet. So the Cheetah Girls have 4 songs on this soundtrack: Together We Can, Cinderella, Girl Power, and Cheetah Sisters. So we open with Together We Can, where they're performing at like a kid's party, and then it all goes wrong at the end. But, you know, Raven's still going right up until the end. That shows that they've got raw talent, but they've still got to iron out the kinks.
Exactly.
Now, that is a bop.
It's a great introduction, especially in that scene. You know, it just establishes where they are in their careers.
And then Cinderella.
This is iconic.
Now, this song...
This is the most important song to take away from this. If you're not... Don't... You know, I know it's all very important to you, Joel. Every single song matters. But I think if you guys are just like, you know, want to skim through this soundtrack, maybe, not that we're recommending that you do that, if you say want to just pick a highlight from it, I would say it's Cinderella.
Really?
And don't just take my word for it. Cardi B has backed this up.
I know. As recently, Cardi B sung this song. Now,
on her Instagram.
I just want to give a little preview of what you guys are going to get on April 6th. It's one of my songs.
Uh-oh.
When I was just a little girl, my mama used to take me into bed and she read me a story.
Cinderella, it wasn't originally sung by the Cheetah Girls, was it?
No.
So apparently it was originally recorded by i5, then covered by Play, then covered by the Cheetah Girls.
And then?
And this song served as apparently the debut single of the Cheetah Girls.
Joel was coming into it with obviously the appreciation from the film, but I know the song Cinderella from a Thai pop star called Tata Young. She released this in the year 2004, a year after the Cheetah Girls, and it was one of her big singles in Asia.
This song was awarded Radio Disney Song of the Year in 2006. That's 3 years after the Cheetah Girls released it. It's the bop that keeps on bopping. We have Girl Power, which is one they perform at the record company, in the offices of the record company. I believe sometimes on tour the Cheetah Girls would perform it as Growl Power. Great empowering song. Throw your hands up if you know that you're a star. And then lastly, we have the closing song. This is the number of the film. It's the big musical number of the film. You can't deny that. You know, with the locations, the choreography, the looks that you loathed so much. Your loathe is my love. And that song is Cheetah Sisters. Success in late 2003, Disney recorded a pilot of the Cheetah Girls with all four girls, and according to IMDb, Jessica Benson was also in it.
Now, when you say pilot, you mean for a TV series?
A television show pilot for a sitcom, which would have been part of ABC's 2004 to 2005 season. Now, due to the success of That's So Raven, the sitcom never got picked up and couldn't go any further. It was a time, but That's So Raven just went from strength to strength to strength. So, unfortunately, this pilot's been sitting on the shelf gathering dust in Disney. Not even I've been able to see it. There's no leaked anything of it. No images, no stills, nothing. I would love to see this pilot. Don't know the plot or anything. I'm guessing it would have just been more Adventure of the Cheetah Girls. It would have sort of picked up where that was. So we're going to see that Cheetah Girls 2 isn't until 2006.
There's quite a gap.
But when you include that, they would have spent time working on that. They thought that was going to be picked up. Then when they realise that's not going to happen, they need to go back to the drawing board. Can they even do a Cheetah Girls 2? You know, that Raven's busy with That So Raven 3LW are going to come back.
Yeah.
This was just an acting gig for Raven. It was an acting gig for all of them initially. They weren't expecting this.
Well, they weren't going to tour anything as the Cheetah Girls or nothing, but that will soon change.
So, 2004 is quite a quiet year. And then in 2005, the Cheetah Girls released their first studio album, Cheetalicious Christmas, which peaked at number 74 on the Billboard 200.
And also that year, the Cheetah Girls went on tour without Raven. They're making this proper. They're making this properly known. I guess the three of the girls are probably thinking, you know, why are we sitting around when there's sort of a demand for the Cheetah Girls brand? Can we do this without Raven? Let's test the waters.
And test the waters they did.
Yeah, they put out a Christmas album and they did a Cheetalicious Christmas tour, which only was in the month of December. So it wasn't like a big, big commitment.
No, but it makes sense. It tests out the waters. And obviously, Disney's presenting this to the girls. You know, they're not going to say no. This is the big deal.
Exactly.
And the really interesting thing about this tour is that, do you know who the support acts for this tour were, David?
Jonas Brothers. And Ali and AJ.
Ali and AJ were the support act for the entire tour.
Mm-hmm.
But on select dates, the Jonas Brothers were surprise special guests.
Love it.
And just putting it out there, Jonas Brothers have just reunited, which I'm really excited about and David couldn't care about. I've been trying to convince David that I want to do a Jonas Brothers episode and he's not having any of it. So, 2006 was a big exciting year, lots going on. This is when 3LW were teasing that they were going to be coming out with their third album. Phoenix Rising had been renamed to Point of No Return.
So they moved to So So Def and Zomba. So So Def, which is Jermaine Dupri's label, it's a whole new chapter for them. This is grown-ass women R&B. That was what they were trying to do with Point of No Return. And also, this marks the first time we get to
see Jessica. Yes, really. Really. She popped up here and there, but poor Jessica, she's hopefully her time, but we're going to see that the Point of No Return really was the Point of No Return.
Very sadly, yes.
Point of No Release.
She was 15 when she was picked up by this group, and now she's 18 by the time she gets to come out with them with a proper record. So the first and only single from this project, Feeling You, featuring Jermaine Dupri himself. I just wanted to put it on your mind. I think that you are the kind I know, cause I haven't had others in my life that I'm like, but I ain't feeling like I'm feeling you. Every time we talk, every time we touch, I get a rush, cause I can tell you're really feeling me too. Me too. And it's rare to think about somebody who really cares. Who cares today? Me and everything in my life, I wanna share it with you.
Now, I didn't even know until researching this episode that 3LW released a single in 2006, that they were even still going in 2006,
no
was
idea.
News to me.
Absolute news to me as well.
Because we are about to see the Cheetah Girls 2 be released, and this is when it gets huge. Especially when you consider that they've just toured with as the Cheetah Girls and released a Christmas album as the Cheetah Girls and done a full tour about that. Now going back to 3LW, this is when I'm like, why did the projects never merge?
I had a feeling that they wanted to keep, like Adrienne and Keely wanted to keep 3LW going as their own artistic expression.
And probably just to feel like themselves. And
exactly.
To feel like they could be sexy.
And, you know, reflect themselves truly.
Right. It's a great song and great music video. But, and I don't mean this in a shady way, but every shot of Keely, she is just like so extra.
She's really sexing it up for you. She's writhing
on
the floor. Tossing her hair back and forth.
She's like, this is Disney After Dark. I'm like being let out of school and I'm really going for
it. Yeah, this is her FHM moment.
But, you know, we probably would be the same. They wouldn't be able to calm us down.
Joel would be the one. He'll Keely it and I would be Jessica Benson in the background.
Jessica Benson! I think we'd both be going for it.
I think I'd just be grateful to be there.
Yeah, so would I. But I would. That music would hit and that camera would be on and there'd be no stopping me. So, yeah, unfortunately, this project kind of just naturally dissolves, doesn't it, in itself?
I mean, quote-unquote pushed back, but it was pushed to the point of no return.
Yeah.
And also, around this time, we're about to see the launch of Danity Kane. Danity Kane came out in August, their album. And that made number one. And around this time, 3LW was trying to push their single out.
Yeah.
And it didn't really get that great a reaction, this song, Feeling You.
No
one was feeling it.
So, apparently, we got 3LW working on this album, Point of No Return, that was due to be released in 2006. But also in 2006, the Cheetah Girls began work on their debut album, which was apparently going to have will.i.am producing some tracks, but that album got put on hold because the Cheetah Girls 2 came up.
Turn up the music.
Come on, y'all.
Make some noise.
Yeah.
And get ready to rock. The Cheetah Girls are back.
Cheetah!
And this time they're headed for Spain.
This could be it. We could be on our way.
For a chance to become pop superstars.
You gotta strut like you mean it. Free your mind. It's not enough. Just to dream it. Come on.
Welcome to Spain.
It's Cheetah-licious!
The Cheetah Girls 2. Spotted next month. Part of Disney Channel's So Hot Summer.
This film is everything. And you can just tell there's more development here, bigger budget. They've got on Kenny Ortega to direct it, who had directed High School Musical 1. He's going to direct High School Musical 2 and 3. This man has done... He's got a strong musical background. It's much more of a musical film. The Cheetah Girls 2 was released August 25th on the Disney Channel in the States, and it pulled in 8.1 million viewers. And that, at that moment in time, that was the highest Disney Channel original movie rating of all time. So, the Cheetah Girls go to Spain, and they go to enter the New Voices competition at the festival, which apparently everyone in Barcelona knows about. We're here for the festival. Oh, the festival? The New Voices festival? Oh, wow. Oh, the girls, they're performing in the festival. And once they're there, they meet Marisol.
Ooh.
Local Spanish pop star. Marisol is played by Belinda.
An actual pop princess.
She is the third most successful Mexican
artist.
Latin female artist of all time.
Incredible, isn't it?
Which is incredible.
She must be like the Mexican Hilary Duff.
They enter the New Voices competition, where Marisol is also in with her mummy manager. And I was saying to David how I went to stage school and there were so many pushy parents that were exactly like this woman character in this film. I went to... All my friends' mums are lovely. But even the pushy parents are lovely. But you could, they definitely shared some of those tropes. You can tell which kids wanted to be there and which kids were kind of pushed to be there.
And this Marisol character with the pushy stage mum, like, she has her own story arc in there where she's sort of... eventually just rebels and doesn't want to do what her mum does.
So the mum is trying to get her, Marisol, to sabotage the Cheetah Girls the whole film.
Ooh.
And then we'll see what happens. Basically, the Cheetah Girls get disqualified and then who knows what happens.
Yeah.
So, David, you'd already seen this film when I made you watch it initially and then we rewatched it.
And then you made me watch it again.
Yeah, in context.
Yeah.
Because we had to watch them all in order.
Yes.
What did you think of the film?
I mean, it's great. I would say this is... If you take one thing away from this episode in terms of must see, must listen, must do, it's the Cheetah Girls 2 film.
Mm. We must also say Whitney Houston is still a co-executive producer on this film, and Raven Simonier is now a co-executive producer, and now she's billed as Raven Simonier, not just Raven anymore.
Mm.
So, yeah, would you also agree by saying this is... the peak of the cinematic Disney Channel original movie universe?
I'm just going to have to say yes. There's no point arguing at this point. Also, I've not seen enough to make an informed decision. So
you've not seen High School Musical 1 and 2?
No.
You've not seen Smart House, Cadet Kelly, the Evan Stevens movie, Don't Look Under the Bed, Luck of the Irish, You Wish? You've not seen any of these?
No.
Keep that in. If you've got a favourite Disney Channel original movie, do let us know. This is probably my favourite. It's always a toss-up between Cheetah Girls 2 and High School Musical 2. For me, they're both like it. Cowbells with Ali and AJ, that's a great one.
I'm like drawing blank at the moment, but I'm loving this.
So how many stars out of 5 would you give the film?
This is a 5 out of 5.
This is a 6. Out of 5. it has to be awarded a whole extra star. Now, this one is much more of a musical film. There are plenty more songs featured on it from the Cheetahs. You know, Disney saw what a success the first one is, so they've plastered the Cheetah Girls on it more, and Raven has some solo tracks as well.
Mm.
So let's get into the songs from this movie. If only I could actually speak Spanish. So, let's start with The Party's Just Begun, the opening number to the film. What a way to say this is the intro.
Yeah. When you consider the opening performance of the first movie versus the opening performance of this movie. Obviously, it follows the journey of the Cheetah Girls. You know, they were amateurs then, still polishing themselves at a kids' party performance.
Yeah.
And now
they're polished,
this
they're
is
ready.
Like a homecoming performance at school, wasn't it? Set at school?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this was like, you know, their outfits are looking fierce. It's like, what was it, denim? Double denim?
Denim with cheetah
prints on it.
Made for TV, Hilary Duff has the quiff and the extensions. I mean, you were just calling her Hilary Duff then as we watched it, weren't you?
I just couldn't remember her name, poor Sabrina. I'm so sorry. But yeah, she was just Hilary to me throughout the film.
I used to print out pictures at school and then stick them up on my wall. And I had an argument with my mum of her trying to tell me that was Hilary Duff. And I was like, listen, Wendy, that is Sabrina Bryan. That is made for TV Hilary Duff. That is not actual Hilary Duff. So next up, we have what I would say is the best song of everything we're going to discuss today.
Wow.
And the best song of the Cheetah Girls. Best song of the whole Cheetah Girls 3LW universe for me. Strut.
Strut.
Now, you actually knew this song before you had even seen the Cheetah Girls, hadn't you?
I don't know how I knew it.
Because it's a bop. A bop's a bop, mate. It yeah. transcends anything. Something good is coming on. You gotta strut like you mean it. Free your mind. Not enough just to dream it. Come on, come on. Get up when you feel it. It's your chance to shine. Strut like you mean it. Come on. You gotta strut like you motherfucking mean it. I want to get a top that has a picture of the Cheap Girls in it in black and white, and then have strut like you mean it, full stop. I'm going to get that made. Don't copy me, everyone. Hopefully you might see me rocking something like that at Brighton Pride this year. Who knows?
That's a quick way to identify you in the crowd. The world's premier Cheetah Girls fan.
I thought the Cheetah Girls would be headlining this. Who's Kylie Minogue? I want a refund. Any other things to say about strut?
I love it. It made number 53 on the US Billboard Hot 100, which I believe...
As a single?
Yeah. Which I believe is the first time a Cheetah Girls track has entered the charts. And number 44 on the US Billboard Pop 100.
And then we have It's Over.
Oh, dramatic.
This is a mood. It is dramatic. It's really like...
Was this the one where in the scene in a movie, Raven throws open those double doors and a gust of wind comes in and
you
lifts...
You better bloody believe it is,
and it was
mate.
Like a really big dramatic kind of...
Yeah, this is a big musical number. They're all separately... Raven's going to leave Barcelona. I absolutely live for it. It is... Oh, I could sing along to this if the wind was blowing and my non-hair could go with it. Oh. It's over, and I feel so alone. This is a sadness I've never known. How did I let the sweetest of dreams slip away? And I'm afraid the hurt is here to stay. Promises made, not made to be. Would you say this is the Disney Channel movies equivalent of "And I'm Telling You I'm Not Going"? Oh god, yeah. And then they come back and they sing Step Up, which shows that they are back, their head's in it, they're rehearsing. It starts with them in the rehearsal room and then it transitions into the performance at the club, the dancing cat. You are the Cheetah Girls. Oh, you must perform at the dancing cat. So, big number, and then the mummy manager of Marisol arranges the Cheetah Girls to get paid for that performance, €100 each. Because they were paid for this performance, that now makes them professionals, but this competition is for new talent, amateurs only, so they get disqualified.
So somehow the judge found out that they got paid...
Because the mummy manager's like, who told you this? Who told you this? And the guy that runs the competition is like, my nephew, thank you very much. Drama.
It's actually so good because I don't have to find clips from this movie. We're just getting the reenactment here.
Anyway.
Back to Cheetah Universe.
Amiga's Cheetahs, they... basically, get back in the show. They
this is a Latin pop moment.
Steal the show. Latin pop moment.
If you loved Mi Chico Latino, you're going to love this. You will live for this.
It's so dramatic as well. Raven's entrance.
Oh!
And her parents like... And then her hat with the hair on top.
Oh, it's very like 80s. I mean, look at that picture of Kylie that I have
over there. Oh, yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah, the hat hair.
And oh, did you notice that Raven also had a hat like that in the first number as well, in The Party's Just Begun?
Yes. Oh, she was into these hat hairs.
Yeah. She's just discovered Kylie's Kylie album.
That was on her mood board.
Yeah. I want to... She's eaten Alexandra Burke, elephant in the room, but she was going to bring this hat to America. So shall we talk about charts of this album?
Sure.
So this album, it went to, peaked at number 5 on the US Billboard 200.
Big deal.
Number 5. And it went to number 1 on the top kids albums and number 1 on the top soundtrack albums in the US. Number 59 in the UK. Now, I know that's not high at all, but considering no promo here or anything, that's really exciting. You know,
Disney
exciting.
Films didn't really get that kind of presence over here.
Following this success, the Cheetah Girls then went on the Party's Just Begun tour, which ended up being an 86-date tour.
Wow.
86 dates, David.
That is massive. Now, of this date, so most of it was in the US. They had 2 dates in Canada and 1 date in Puerto Rico. Because why not?
I would have loved them to be here. Now, I do think a lot of kids would have gone and felt cheated because I don't think they openly build it as like Raven's not going to be there. I think they're always quite vague with it. And the support acts, they had several support acts, but for some of the dates, they had Miley Cyrus as Hannah Montana.
Wow.
It was very early of Hannah Montana.
Wow.
I think Hannah Montana's debut episode was straight after the Cheetah Girls 2.
Oh, really?
That, something like that.
That night itself of the premiere.
Yeah.
That's really clever.
And Vanessa Hudgens was an opening act for some of the tour as well.
Is this pre-High School Musical or just
between
As?
Between High School Musical 1 and 2.
Okay, so they were trying
to... Or Just As, yeah. High School Musical 1 was 2006. So
they were trying to make Vanessa Hudgens happen then.
Well, she would have been plugging her first album.
Oh my God, around that time, it all fits now.
V.
Wow. So, aside from the 2 hugely successful soundtracks that we've already had as part of the movie franchise, there's ambitions for Sabrina Bryan, Keeley Williams, and Adrian Bailon to take the Cheetah Girls and cross over as a legitimate is rude to imply that it's not real, but, you know, they want it to be a standalone act aside from Disney the films.
Yeah, they were quoted as saying, you know, they've got a great marketing team around them and they were really trying to plug the fact that this is going to be a real music album, as themselves, not a soundtrack.
Yeah, so a lot of effort did go into this album.
The girls said that they worked on writing the songs while they were on that tour.
Wow.
And they were going to work with Timbaland.
And, there seemed to be a good enough momentum, but I think this was going to be a point where people are going to see whether is it going to work without a push of a film.
Well, the thing is as well, Raven is such a centre point in these first 2 films.
But also, really, at this point, the girls are probably thinking, we've got our own fan base. We've toured as the Cheetah Girls as a trio twice.
So, in 2007, we get their debut album as a recording act.
2CG. And let's have a look at some of the names that are involved in this project. Because, you know, there's some really, really good names. We have J.R. Rotem, who has worked with Rihanna and Paris Hilton.
That's the J.R., right?
That is the J.R. Cara DioGuardi, who we know from...
Hilary Duff,
Kelly Clarkson stuff. Red One, who has lots of bangers with Lady Gaga in the coming years from this.
So they had 2 singles on this album, Fuego and So Bring It On.
Very different flavours they're serving us.
Yeah, I think...
So you told me to listen to this album because this had a sort of...
Does sound like Disney does Blackout.
This is quite a pitch. So you mentioned the 2 singles, Fuego and then So Bring It On. So Bring It On has the big kind of metallic electric guitars that's very, I want to say, Ali and AJ and sort of Ashley Tisdale.
Yeah. So Bring It On was the first single. It was more of like a teaser radio-only single. So I think that was quite a clever move to try and help transition the audience.
You want to fight, then we'll do it my way. Is not just a game.
It was a bit disappointing, this album. It peaked at number 44 on the Billboard US 200. In the US Billboard 200, it sold over 126,000 copies.
But bear in mind, they do not have the big marketing push of a movie along with this, and no TV show.
We sat down with the Cheetah Girls. Disney Channel fans ask, is there going to be another Cheetah Girls movie?
There is going to be a third Cheetah Girls movie. We're so excited to be able to announce that. We're so excited. And get this, the next one is in India.
So, 2008, we get Cheetah Girls One World, the third movie, and the first movie without Raven, unfortunately. Raven said she didn't return due to catfights and territorial issues with the girls, which the other girls did deny. But Raven kind of said between the first and the second film, she could feel it. I think because the girls had gone off and toured.
Yeah, they were a tighter bond.
Yeah, so I think she kind of felt like an outsider coming in.
And then the second film, she served as co-exec producer.
Yeah, so there would have been that separation as well.
It's very Nicole Scherzinger PCD narrative at the moment, isn't it?
It really pains my heart every time I watch it. Every now and then.
We watched this last night or whenever.
Yeah, it was late though.
We'd done a Cheetah Girls movie marathon. And Joel fell asleep.
Did I fall asleep for a lot of it?
Yeah. I was like reacting and like having the time of my life and you missed
it. Did you enjoy it?
I was trying to enjoy it with you, but you were like asleep.
Sorry, David. It was late and you know what I'm like. I mean, they have taken the heart and soul of the first two movies out, in my opinion.
And also tonally, in terms of what this movie covers, it's just a little bit more depressing.
It's very depressing. It's all about, it's the struggle of life that we all have, because they've left high school now.
Yeah.
And they're all about to go to college, but
they're still trying to keep the dream alive.
We can't make it, it's never or now. And it's like they've gone from back to how they were in the first movie, where they were, trying to sharpen themselves and finesse their skills, when it's like they got to be so good in the second one.
Yeah, and it's almost like, what the hell happened? And also the way they wrote Raven out of the narrative.
Oh, Raven's at Cambridge.
Okay.
And it's like, you know Raven would never do that. This girl was so dedicated to the group.
She created the group, she wouldn't just leave it.
And let them all continue without her.
Yeah, they should have made up some bullshit that she went solo or something. That would have been more believable.
Yeah. Show me what you got. Try to follow, watch me now. If you think that you know how.
So the Cheetah Girls' One World soundtrack made number 13 on the US Billboard 200, number 2 on the Billboard Kids album chart.
It didn't go to number 1 on the Kids album chart.
I mean, what was keeping it from the top?
I wonder.
Was it High School Musical at this time? 2008? Yeah?
Maybe High School Musical 3, but the movie premiered with over 6.2 million viewers. And reached 7 million viewers in its final half hour. This still failed to meet the ratings of the first two and is the series' lowest rated premiere.
Regardless of this, the Cheetah Girls did push on to tour.
They did the Cheetah Girls One World Tour.
Yes.
So on this they sung songs from all three films and then they also did a little bit from TCG as well. One World!
Halfway through the One World Tour, a bit of controversy hit. Adrian had some naughty pictures that were leaked online. Now, she alleged that her laptop was stolen and someone had uploaded these pics. Now, according to sources, her laptop was indeed stolen, but her publicist, who obviously became her ex-publicist after this, revealed that he had a premonition that Adrian had concocted this as a publicity stunt and she had leaked the pictures herself in order to distance herself from Disney because she was 25 or something and, she was approaching the end of her Disney contract and she really wanted to establish the next steps for her, the next chapter of her career, just to grow her out of that Disney mold. And it just painfully backfired. A couple of tour dates had to be cancelled as a result of the backlash. The group had an appearance at Macy's Thanksgiving parade that got pulled. So yeah, very swiftly, she was ushered out of her contract with Disney.
Oh my God. And the funny thing is that Adrian, I can't remember if it was Adrian or Sabrina Bryan or both, were rumoured to potentially replace Vanessa Hudgens in High School Musical 3 because of her nude leaks.
Oh my god.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a terrible move. So, you know, we've still got Adrian now on a US show that's kind of similar to Loose Women.
The Talk.
She sometimes dishes about 3LW or the Cheetah Girls on there.
She had Naturi on she had Actual Raven on as well. Actual
Raven. So she had a moment where she apologised to Naturi on it. It seemed a bit forced, but Naturi said it's not.
Yeah.
She just said, like, she had apologised to me previously. I just wasn't expecting her to say that, and that's probably TV. What the reaction was.
Yeah, because they already resolved their differences in private years ago. And she didn't expect that Adrian would bring it out for telly. But, you know, it's producers probably in Adrian's ear going, make this moment. Yeah, go on, love.
And then, yeah, Raven went on and they joked about their time in the Cheetah Girls together, which was really sweet.
It's nice, yeah.
And now when you look at it, Keely and Sabrina follow each other. And I think Sabrina, and then I think Raven and Adrian follow each other.
Can we just flash back to last year when you and I watched a bit of the That's So Raven sequel?
Oh, yeah, Raven's Home.
Yeah, the spin-off. Raven's Home.
So now Raven's killing it on Raven's Home.
Is that Disney Channel? That's
Disney Channel, yeah.
She's back on the Disney Channel. Is that still going? I hope that show's still going.
That's still going, yeah.
It must be season 2 now or 3 or whatever.
They actually had a musical episode, should maybe check that one out.
Yeah, so Raven is now a mom of 2 kids. 2?
Yeah.
2. And she's sharing with Chelsea. Yes. Her best friend. Chelsea has a kid. So it's like sort of these two single moms banding together. I love it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really sweet. We watched a few episodes in the first season.
One of Raven's kids is psychic as well. So let's wrap it up then, shall we? Okay, thank you so much for listening, everyone. Please, if you've enjoyed it, do give us a little 5-star review and rating on iTunes. Let us know. 3LW or Cheetah Girls' favourite songs overall. Yeah. Let us know if you loved One World. Maybe that was your favourite. Who knows? Please do share and share on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram if you do like it. We love seeing it when you Insta story about it. Please tell your friends. If you know any pop-loving friends, let them know. Really excited for you guys to hear the rest of the season and who we're going to cover. We are at Right Back Pod on all socials. You can also follow me at Dr_JoelB. And where can people follow you, David?
On Twitter, it's FeedLimmy. And on Instagram, it's LoveLimmy.
And we love our listeners.
That is so cringe.
I know. I'm Joel Cringe Babington. No, thank you so much for listening. And we will see you soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye.